Our scripture reading for today is from Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
This morning we conclude Psalm 91. It's almost sad to leave it because I think it's been such a rich, rich lesson. And I just want to say before we begin that the altar remains here. We are going to be singing Just As I Am at the very end. And if there's anyone who has something heavy on their heart for themselves or for somebody else, if you would like to come and kneel and pray during that time, we want you to know that the altar is open. In these final verses of Psalm 91, we see that the author and the psalmist has changed the voice of Scripture. In essence, it began in third person as if talking about someone else, and it announces his promises in first person, stating, I will. This is a dramatic shift in tone where it moves God to speaking prophetically to each of us directly. And isn't it amazing how God can do that? It denotes significantly more depth in the relationship that we have with God. And we see God coming to us from, as the scripture says, from his secret place. In these final verses, he gives eight promises based on a relational commitment, one that involves choice. And I so appreciated, and during our donut time, it was Marie and Cheryl Patterson and I were sitting together and we were discussing relationships. And I thought, how perfect, because that fits right into the message this morning, that God chooses to have a relationship with us the same as we have with dear friends. Now, God has set his love on us. That is the choice he has made. In this, in the passages, we are challenged as readers to set our love on God. And since love is the cohesiveness that bands man to God, as well as man to man, friend to friend, woman to woman, it is what brings us together. We know that since that's the cohesive binding, that God will hold to that because he loves us in such a way that he calls us his beloved. Now think about how precious that word is. It's not just my friend. It's you are God's beloved, each one of you. So we know that this true love connection, that for this to occur, that we need nearness and we need God's presence, because true protection only occurs with closeness. Therefore, it is by encounter with the Lord and time spent with the Lord that will cause us to lay hold of these promises, as we see in Psalm 91. Now, you have an insert, and I encourage you to keep that out in front of you as we go through the message, because we're going to follow right down those passages. And I encourage you to keep this on your refrigerator door. If there's any room there, because I know how you grandparents are. I mean, those refrigerator doors become quite full. But if you have a place where you can keep this in place where we don't forget, I think it's really an excellent, excellent reminder. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, do we really love him? Do we really love God? Now, you may say, well, why are we even asking that question? Well, keep in mind, Jesus asked that question. Who did he ask that question of? Peter, how many times? Three times. Now, it doesn't say exactly how he says each time, but each time I hear it, I kind of hear Jesus say, Peter, do you love me? And the second time, Peter, do you love me? And perhaps the third time, Peter, do you love me? Each time it carries a little different emphasis. Now each time Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. Then God responds, then do what? Feed my sheep. That's not a suggestion. That is a command to feed my sheep. So at this time, as we take communion, I thought how perfect it was that this message landed on this Sunday, that we really ask ourselves that question and know that God has set his love upon us. As it says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Therefore, our obedience is a reliable telltale sign that shows whether we really love God or not. So do you love him? If you do, then these promises are for you.
Let's look at the first two scriptures as printed as the insert in the bulletin. Because he has loved me, therefore I will rescue or deliver him. I will set him on high and protect him because he has known my name. Here's the first promise. A promise of deliverance is the first of the eight promises made to the one who loves God. I encourage you to make it personal. For instance, I quote it like this. Because I love you, Lord, I thank you for your promise to deliver me. Furthermore, Joel in chapter 2, verse 32 states, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. It's comforting to know that God involves himself with the minute details of our lives, even when we may be caught off guard. We can rejoice knowing that God's protection follows us not only into the known, but also into the unknown. Psalm 91's covenant of protection is absolutely true and reliable, and can deliver us no matter what we may be facing. Remember that deliverance is all-encompassing. It happens within, internally, and without, externally. In fact, it surrounds us. Psalm chapter 32, verse 7 states, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the songs of deliverance." To be set securely on high is the second promise to those who love the Lord and know him by name. It is my name, God says, that has been on his lips when he faces troubles. And he has run to me. He has called out to me in faith, therefore I will set him on high. Once God seats you on high, you have a new perspective and longing to fulfill your responsibility to the Lord. For at least a decade or two, leadership models emphasize that a strong leader is one who can rise above the fray and see things from the balcony. In essence, withdrawing from the fray or the chaos to gain a greater perspective of the problem is vital to a proper resolution. In similar fashion, this is our call for today. that God will raise us to a new height, not only for protection, but for perspective, to view the cacophony of life through God's eyes.
So let's complete the psalm with its promises. It states, He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15 states, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. And this is God's third promise found in verse 15, that if we pray according to his will, that he hears us. Thus, the fourth and fifth promise that go hand in hand is to be with us and to rescue us during times of trouble. You know, people do cry out to God in times of trouble. We all do. From prison cells, from financial burdens, soldiers during times of war, people in accidents, and more. And much criticism, unfortunately, is given to the help me prayers. However, we must remember that when one is in pain, we run to the one we love or we trust the most, don't we? And I don't know about you, but when someone calls us, especially our children, even if it's in the middle of the night, to share their fears or their concerns, we are honored. We are truly honored that we were chosen as a safe refuge for someone else to spill out their most intimate fears. You know, God is not hindered by our seemingly impossible situations, and that's why it's such a beautiful thing for us to share with others. God has creative powers beyond what we can conceive that envelop us and envelop our situations. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Consequently, we are led quickly into the next promise, the sixth one, that God honors us. In verse 15, it clearly states, I will honor him. And all of us like to be honored, don't we? I mean, recognition is always a good thing. A word of thanks goes a very long way in life. But even as good as it feels to be thanked by a friend or an acquaintance, imagine being recognized and honored by God. Now, how does God honor us? Well, in a couple of ways. First of all, he honors us by calling us his sons and his daughters. And secondly, through the words of Jesus, he says that he is preparing a place for us. Now, that is recognition, and that is honor from God.
Verse 16 presents a seventh promise. It states that he will satisfy us. Having many birthdays is not always overly satisfying to mankind. Ask almost any woman over the age of 40 if they really like another birthday. Still, God says he'll give us many birthdays, providing satisfaction. Note that satisfaction is not always blissful happiness. Satisfaction is a form of contentment of a job well done. We recognize as we walk through life that we have a vacuum inside us that only God can fill. If we allow God to fill this vacuum and live for him, our lives will be lived out in satisfaction.
So then we have the eighth promise, to behold his salvation. And this is a promise that we shall see him face to face after a long and satisfying life. And although this promise secures our future, folks, it begins right now. It begins now. Salvation defined has a deeper meaning than just a ticket to heaven, okay? And sometimes the richness of the word salvation is missed. According to Strong's commentary, the word salvation includes health, healing, rescue, deliverance, safety, protection, and provision. That's a pretty rich word. In essence, God will allow us to see and take hold of his health, his healing, his deliverance, his protection, and his provision. Now, many people read Psalm 91, but very few behold it with their lives. So our prayer is that this will change. Our prayer is that we will see God in action in our lives, that we will experience calm in the midst of chaos, that we will sense his healing touch, that his protection, his deliverance, his health, and his provision are realized by us, his people.
Promises of God are sprinkled throughout the scriptures. However, Psalm 91 is unique. It is the only place in the Word of God where all of the protection promises are brought together in one place, forming a covenant written through the Holy Spirit. How wonderful and marvelous is that? Psalm 91 can also be seen as a spiritual contract for his children. Note what Luke records in chapter 24, verse 44. Now he, Jesus, said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and of the Psalms must be fulfilled." When Jesus specifically equates the Psalms to the law of Moses and the prophets, we see that it is historically relevant, prophetically sound, and totally applicable and reliable. During times when there are so many uncertainties, and dear Lord, we have so many at this time, it is more than comforting to realize that God not only knows ahead of time, but what we'll be facing, but also makes absolute provision for us. Someone pointed out that the emergency number that we call for help is 911. One wonders if that concept was not based upon biblical application, because Psalm 91:1 truly is our safeguard.
So what does it take? What must I do to be saved? In Psalm 91, we have discussed the physical protection of ourselves, but it is vital that we emphasize eternal protection. So if you have never given your life totally or fully to Christ, now and today is the time to do that. The Roman Road, it includes verses from the book of Romans that lead us to the path of eternal protection. But it also, and we would also like to include the imperative verse from the book of John. Let us go through the Roman Road. Romans 3:10.
There is none righteous, not even one.
Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Romans 5:8.
But God demonstrates his love toward us, in that while yet we were sinners, Christ died for us.
Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Romans 10:9.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
In our beloved verse from John 3:16. Say it with us, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, we have watched the Holy Spirit truly wash over this church. If you have never been baptized, regardless of your age, please consider making your confession to God today. Also, if you have been baptized, but it was at such a young age, and you have come into a full awareness of God and Christ's saving glory, and you would like to be rebaptized, please consider that today. We are going to pray, and we are going to ask you to close your eyes. But Paul and I are going to remain watching, and we're going to see if there's anyone who would like to be baptized. Or even consider rebaptism. Paul and I are going to be saying the prayer. I will say it, he will repeat it. So we would like you in your hearts and mind to repeat the phrase with Paul. Let's close our eyes. Oh, dear God.
Dear God.
I believe you gave your son Jesus to die for me.
I believe that you gave your son Jesus to die for me.
I believe he shed his blood to pay for my sins.
I believe that he shed his blood to pay for my sins.
And that you raised him from the dead so I can be your child.
And that you raised him from the dead so I can be your child.
And so I can live with you eternally in heaven.
And so I can live with you eternally in heaven.
I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart right now and save me.
I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart right now and save me.
I confess him as Lord and Master of my life.
I confess him as the Lord and Master of my life.
I thank you, dear Lord, for loving me enough to lay down your life for me.
I thank you, dear Lord, for loving me enough to lay down your life for me.
Take my life now and use it for your glory.
Take my life now and use it for your glory.
I ask for all that you have promised for me.
I ask for all that you have promised for me.
So let's keep your eyes closed. If you were desiring baptism, or if you were desiring to be rebaptized, would you raise your hand at this time? Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.